have an amazing set of parents. I have both my grandparents that I was raised with, two younger sisters, and we were raised in the church. Went to Sunday school, went to church every Sunday. When you go to college, you start to be able to make your own decisions, and faith wasn't at the forefront of what I was invested in. I played baseball and I put a lot of my stock into that. And I really started to get away from, I think, who I am or who I was created to be, and started to be this person that I thought I wanted to be. Senior year was gonna be an awesome experience. I got hurt, and everything that I had thought I wanted was then removed. And when everything is taken away from you, and then there's no support anymore, there's no more, you have to be at practice at this time, you have a game at this time, you start to ask yourself, like, what do I do now? One of the biggest inspirations in my life, my aunt had moved back to Minnesota to be closer to our family. Summer of 2018, she was diagnosed with glioblastoma and then passed away in 2019. At that point, I really had said, I don't want to challenge myself anymore. I don't want to be uncomfortable. I don't want to be sad or frustrated with this life. I just want to have a job that I can sit at a desk. And so I did that. I had the same job for about 5 years. I went to the same gym. I lived in the same apartment. It was essentially a triangle. I went from home to the gym. Went to work, from work to home, and I lived in this 20-mile triangle that I created for myself. And everything that I thought I had wanted in that moment was great. There was no stress, there was nothing going on. But then I would just sit there and be like, why is it that I feel like I have so many more things to give this world? There has to be more to life than this.
And the good news is that there is more. There is more to life. And Alec, in his story, he got to find it in a really cool way, in a way that I think a lot of us are going to relate to today. Welcome, Hope. We're so glad that you're here. So glad that you're joining us. And Valley Singers, man, that was so good. That was incredible. Man, you guys could sing about anything, you know, but for you to say, hey, you know, we go to this public school and we're going to sing hallelujah, praise God. That is an amazing thing. And so keep using your gifts to praise him. Amen. This series of messages that we're doing is called Hope Stories. And there's something about the stories that we share, the stories that we live, that touch us at a heart level, a level that impacts us. And so here's the thing is that we can celebrate, you know, amazing things like the tens of thousands of people that came to worship here at Easter. That was incredible. Those are wonderful numbers to hear about. The $1 million that you guys raised, that was wonderful, right? That's absolutely wonderful. But you know what's even more wonderful? Is every single person that God loves that's behind a number. See, you're more than a number to God. Your story matters to God. Your story and the stories of those that, like Alec, whose story we're sharing this week, they are our lives. And so Alec, he has the story that, frankly, is probably the most common story that we hear about here at Hope. It's a story where Alec grew up in church, and then went to college, and then wandered. Out of curiosity, raise your hand. I'm not saying you're raising your hand because you're saying it's you, okay? But did you or someone that you know and care about have a story that's like Alex, where you maybe grew up in church, or maybe you didn't grow up in church, but you kind of wandered away from the path that you felt like maybe was you were made for, that you were right, that there's some wandering that happened. Go ahead and raise your hand if you or someone you love has experienced that. Yeah, right. Pretty much all of us. So if you're here and you're like, I've been wandering, guess what? You're not alone. You're in good company. because this is something that we all experience. In fact, the Bible puts it this way in Isaiah 53, which is a prophecy of Jesus 700 and some years before Jesus even walked the planet. Go read it sometime and you'll be like, wow, that's incredible. But I'm going to show you just this one piece. It says, all of us, everyone say, all of us. All of us like sheep have strayed away. We've left God's path for our own. Like sheep. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're like a sheep. Turn back and say, meh. That wouldn't have worked at 8 a.m. They're too sleepy for that. So this is something we all experience. We all wander. And it's so easy to do. And the thing about it is that we sometimes, when we wander, when we leave the path, when we whatever, when we get lost, sometimes when it comes to changing that, to being found, there's some shame or some guilt or some pressure that people feel. But it happens to all of us. And if it happens to all of us, that must be because it's pretty easy to happen. It must be because it's pretty normal. In fact, here's just some ways that we end up lost in life, like a sheep. Maybe we've lost our focus. You know, there's maybe a time in your life where you're like, this is what I'm made for, this is what I'm gonna do, and then, oh, look at this relationship over here. Oh, this is really exciting. Or look at these friends over here. Oh, this is really exciting. Look at this opportunity over here. And I have attention deficit disorder, okay? And so I live this on a daily basis, okay? Where sometimes it's just so easy to lose focus and wander. Sometimes we're looking for more, and we have that nagging question that Alec had, and Alec had the question, is there anything more to life than this? I've made life comfortable. I've tried to figure out some things along the way where my stress isn't crazy. I'm a pretty decent person, but I still have this nagging question. Is there anything more to life than this? Or maybe you have grown up in church and you're like, well, I shouldn't be asking that question because I follow Jesus. But is there anything more to life with God than this? It's a pretty normal question. Of course, there's FOMO, the fear of missing out. You know, you see what other opportunities lie out there. Or sometimes we just grow weary, right? Whether it's health things that you've been dealing with for a long time and then it can be easy to stray, or whether it's you've been resisting temptation for a long time, or whether like Alec, he was grieving the loss of his aunt, who he loved dearly, and it becomes so easy to stray. Sometimes we get bad information and we end up wandering, and we're like, wait, I thought everything on TikTok was true. What? And then we discover that, oh, I wish that someone would have told me. No one told me that that was a bad relationship. No one told me that this path led there. And yet here I am. Of course, when you see other people doing it and they seem like they're doing all right, then you start to wonder, well, if they're doing all right, maybe they're going the right way. But here's the funny thing about being lost and wandering is that at first, not the whole time, but at first, the wrong way feels just like the right way. Doesn't it? There's these moments in our life where we're wandering and we're lost, but we haven't discovered it yet. Some of you know this because the person that you drive in a car with, they refuse to use a GPS. I'm one of those people that like, hey, I grew up in the Des Moines area. I'm still turning on Google Maps because I could get lost. It's very possible. And the rest of you that just said, well, give me your man card right now. Like, you get rid of those gender stereotypes, okay, please? Thank you. But the truth is that when you're going the wrong way, until you discover that you're going the wrong way, it feels right. So why would you be concerned? And it's why we have to pause and take a look every now and again. Because you go the wrong way long enough and it's, well, there's consequences. But if you're like me, admitting that you've been going the wrong way is very uncomfortable. And so at first, turning around feels really uncomfortable. So uncomfortable, in fact, that we'll wait until it's more uncomfortable to keep going on the wrong path than admitting that maybe we were wrong in our choice of direction, or admitting maybe that we did wander off and it's time to come back. See, at first, the wrong way feels like the right way. At first, turning around feels harder than continuing until it doesn't. Until it's so painful or uncomfortable, or things start falling apart, or those nagging questions, that emptiness that's inside starts rearing its ugly head and saying, "Remember me?" And we hear this story all the time. All the time. Alex's story is common. Doesn't mean it's not special. There's this thing that people do all the time with their story. They think, "Well, I'm just a regular, you know, no one would be, you know, impacted by my story. I just sort of like wandered a bit and then Jesus came and found me and so now I'm here." Kind of basic. But Alex's story isn't basic. It's relatable. It's real. It's what happens to most all of us in some way, shape, or form. It's what happens to most all of the people that we love in some way, shape, or form. And so what do you do when you're wandering, or when you've been wandering and you're like, "I'm not done wandering, I'm gonna keep wandering"? What do you do when the people that you love are wandering and you can see it, but they can't? What do you do when you've been wandering and you want to come home and you want to, you know, maybe it's you've been away from church for a little while and you want to come back to church, but you're like, "If I see that person, they'll know that I haven't been here for a while." And like, you just feel a little embarrassed about that, or whatever it might be. You go to your family meal, like maybe it was Easter last week and you got together with family and everybody knows what's been going on. And of course, we live in the Midwest, and so most of us don't even talk about it. Because at first, the wrong way feels like the right way until it doesn't. And at first, turning around feels harder than continuing until it doesn't. But the good news is that in Alex's case, and in so many people's case, in this room right here, right now, it really only takes one moment. It really only takes one conversation or one person or one moment for everything to start changing. Take a look at what happened in Alex's life.
I kind of went into this dark place of not feeling confident in myself, feeling like there's so much more that this world has to offer. And so I started going to therapy, but really the most important key to all of this is that a friend came up to me at the gym. And she asked me if I had a church family. And I really didn't have a good response. And she said, "I'm gonna pick you up on Sunday and we're gonna go to church." And so she did. She picked me up on that Sunday. She had encouraged me to take Alpha because she thought it would be a great way to ask questions or at least connect with new people that have probably experienced the same valley that I was going through. It's just a story of being lost in your own self or being lost in what society had told me I should be, instead of following the story that God has for me. Over several years, you start moving further and further away from what God had planned for me. But it only took one conversation for me to start heading back. Decided to sign up for Alpha and got to meet some pretty influential people that are in my life right now. I know the importance of one interaction. I know the importance of one conversation. That friend that asked me to come to church on Sunday changed my entire life.
Jesus has a way of doing that. And he tends to do it in his house. Jesus, he's the author of our stories. He's the one that created us. He's the one that designed us. He's the one that has a purpose for us. And sometimes it takes us figuring out that his one's actually the best one that we're ever going to find for us to come home. See, one time Jesus, he was talking He was having one of those defining moments like Alec was talking about. He was talking with two groups of people. And one group, they were utterly lost, and everyone knew it, including them. This was the notorious sinners and the tax collectors, and they were lost because the sin that they notoriously were doing, whatever that was, it was hurting them, and it was hurting people around them. So they were lost in that. The tax collectors, it wasn't like, you know, working for the IRS. It was like, what would happen is that the Roman government that occupied everybody, they would get people from the country that they were occupying, in this case, it was Israel, and they would say, you get to keep as much tax as you collect over what we require. And so they would get rich off of the poverty of their own people. So they were hated, especially among the religious community. And that was the other group that was in this particular crowd that Jesus was talking to. So he was talking to people that were lost, and they knew they were lost, but then there were the people that were lost and they had no idea. They were lost in their religion, their legalism, which is a church word for, we're going to interpret the Bible in such a way to control other people and to not get at what the heart of the scripture means in our life. And we're not even going to help other people to live out the scriptures. What we're going to do is we're just going to control them and then feel better about ourselves. That's what legalism does, is it takes the letter of the law and it applies it to others in such a way where you can be superior. And Jesus looks at them and sees lost Pharisees. But they don't know they're lost because going the wrong way feels like the right way at first. So he tells a story, just like we're telling Alex's story, just like your story matters. And this is a commonly called the parable of the lost sheep. And really this story is kind of a logical story. It's a story about the shepherd, and the shepherd has 100 sheep, and Jesus starts by asking this question of these two crowds. He says, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Out of curiosity, is there anyone in the room that you have ever kept sheep before? Go ahead and just raise your hand. One, like all your friends are at 8 o'clock, just so you know. They're all at 8 o'clock. Because there was a whole, and they all sit right up here in the front. Either that or they felt guilty because the pastor said, raise your hand. And they're like, no one's raising their hand. I'm going to raise my hand. So, but I don't think they lied in church. So all your friends are up here. So keeping sheep. Well, here's the thing that I want you to know. If you get on YouTube and you just type in dumb sheep, you're going to find hours of entertainment. Okay, hours of entertainment. They're just, because like one of them I saw, and there was a little bit of language in it. I'm like, okay, I can't do that in church. And so this guy pulls this sheep out of this ditch. The sheep just fell in, and they're videoing him get the sheep out. And yay, the sheep gets out, and the sheep is bouncing around, so happy. And then, whoop, falls right into the ditch again. So if you need some entertainment, like if you're not a basketball fan or something like that and you need something to do this afternoon, just YouTube dumb sheep and you will laugh and laugh and laugh. And in this story, we're the sheep. We're the sheep. And it's not because you're dumb, but we do wander. We're the sheep and Jesus is the shepherd. And so if one is lost, what will he do? By the way, I did try to think of some good sheep jokes for this sermon, since we're talking about sheep, but I figured they'd all be too bad, so. Yes, the Ignition students over here are like, yeah, he's the same. Anyway, we gotta move on. So Jesus, he asked this question, and everybody then, they knew what the answer was. But you and me, we might look at that and say, wow, you know, if I got 99% on a test, that'd be pretty good. That'd be a great grade. How would you guys like that? Would that be all right? Yeah, that'd be good. Or if your portfolio, you know, if you lost 1% rather than a lot more, or if inflation was a bit more like that, or if maybe if you know, groceries only went up 1% rather than however much is going up. We might feel like, okay, that's an unfortunate loss. But man, I still got these other 99. I'm doing good. But not this shepherd. This shepherd's different. This shepherd, as they knew back in the day, this shepherd, well, here was the logic of the story of this lost sheep. Look at the next verse. It says this in Luke 15. Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go search for the one that's lost until he finds it? These Pharisees, they're all upset that Jesus, this man of God, is hanging out with these notorious sinners and tax collectors. Doesn't he know they're lost? Exactly. They're lost. So I'm going after them. See, Jesus, he leaves the 99. What's that mean? That means that Jesus is willing to risk it all for the one that wanders. Jesus, he put on flesh, God in a body. He decided, I want to feel what they feel. I want to walk where they walk, and they're going to crucify me. And so he died on a cross, and he risked it all. He died on a cross before knowing, well, he knew because he knows you, but he died on a cross knowing you, but it wasn't a guarantee that you'd love him back, was it? He died on a cross not knowing, oh man, I bet since I die on a cross that they will never wander. No, he died on a cross knowing that you would, knowing that you're sheep, and knowing that he would need to come and find you and bring you home. And he was willing to risk it all. A shepherd who leaves 99 sheep in the wilderness where there's lions and tigers and bears, oh my, he's risking it all. But he searches and he searches and he searches and he does that until he finds it. He doesn't give up. In fact, some of you, I'm sure that there's more than one of you in this room right now or tuning in online right now, and you have been wandering for a long time, but there's been this very annoying sense that God has been pursuing you and he just won't stop. He'll just continue to do it. He's not going to force you to come home, but he will pursue you. And you know what's really cool about this shepherd is that when he has found the sheep and when he's found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. Now, see this guy carrying this sheep? I don't know if that looks like a very joyful job to you. It seems a little messy, you know? I don't know what he gets on him in the process, but I don't want that job. It looks heavy, you know, this guy over here, you ever had to do that before, wherever you went? The guy that, yeah, he's nodding like, yeah, please don't point me out in public. Sorry, man, I won't do it again. But anyway, this idea of being joyfully carried home. Do you know what most of us believe about God? Is that we gotta carry ourselves home. We need to clean up our act. And once we do that, then maybe, I've heard that God's forgiving or something like that. So maybe if I clean up my act enough and show that I'm really working hard and show that I'm really determined and I really mean it this time, then maybe he'll forgive me and he'll say, oh, fine, I'll sweep that under the rug, I guess. But that's not the attitude of the God that Jesus is describing. And so if that's the attitude that you have in your mind, or when you picture God and you picture coming home to God, if you picture following after him again, and the picture in your mind is a really grumpy grandpa with a long beard that's like, I'm just so frustrated that you wandered off, then you don't have the same picture that we see in the Bible. And so you'll experience God that way, but really it's your picture and not the way that he is. See, the way that he is, he's ready to joyfully carry you home. And you know why he has to joyfully carry us home? Let's stay back on that other one for just a second. You know why he's joyfully carrying you home, even though that you're heavy, even though that you're messy, even though that you got problems? He is carrying you home, one, because, you know, it's helpful to be carried as a sheep so you don't wander off again on the way back. But the other is, a lot of times when we wander, we get hurt. And when a sheep is hurt, the shepherd will put them on the shoulder, because the more that they walk, the harder that it is to heal. And so it's by God's grace, by God's strength, by God's love, by God's carrying you that we come home, that we find healing. And then this next verse, this is where we become like that guy. That's a pretty happy sheep. So when he arrives, he will call together his friends and his neighbors, and this shepherd will say, "Rejoice with me." Everyone say, "Rejoice with me." Rejoice with me. Let's have a party. And it's not because 99% of my investment didn't wander away. It's because 1% is back. We have a God. It's not that the God doesn't care about the 99, but we have a God that shows special favor and special love, special joy for when those who wander come home. Rejoice with me. God is excited for you to be his kid. He's excited to spend time with you. He's excited to be around you. And he knows all of your faults. He knows all of your sins. And his feeling about you, especially when you come home to him, is let's have a party. This is the best. And so Jesus, our great shepherd, Jesus, he made it possible for us to come home. The Pharisees said, why are you hanging out with these lost people who are wandering? All judgmental because they didn't even recognize they're wandering, that they're lost. But Jesus, he's going after them to bring them home. How did he do it? Jesus gave his life. Jesus gave his life on the cross so that you would have the life you were made for. Do you have that life? Alec was wondering, is there anything more to life than this? One of the most common questions that we ask. Because there are things that were good in his life, but he didn't have the life that he knew he was made for. He knew there was something that was missing. And Jesus died on a cross, not to be a nice guy, not just to, it sets in a fantastic example, yes. But so much deeper than that. Jesus died on a cross so that you and me, that we would have the life that we were made to live. Are you living that life? Really? Because I'm telling you, if it feels like you're living that life and it's without the one who made you, the one who designed you, the one who sent his son to die for you, if you're living that life and it feels like everything's going right, that you might be in stage one of going the wrong way. Because your creator and your God who loves you so much, when he fills you with his love, when it goes from religion to an actual relationship that transforms your heart, all of a sudden you just start overflowing with all sorts of amazing things, regardless of the circumstances of your life. Jesus gave his life so you could have the life that you were made for. Jesus gave his life so that you would have the life that you were made for on this side of heaven, and you'd have eternal life. Because without the cross, and last week we celebrated the empty tomb, then we just have religion. But with the cross and the empty tomb, we have hope for new and everlasting life. So Alec discovered this, and he experienced it for himself. He went to Alpha, and he learned more about these things and what it all meant for him personally, and he got filled up so much. And that's when things actually really started to take off in Alec's story. Take a look.
So at the very end of James, chapter 5, verse 19 through 20, my dear friends, if you know people who have wandered off from God's truth, don't write them off. Go after them. Get them back, and you will have rescued precious lives from destruction and prevented an epidemic of wandering away from God. Sometimes you have to stop thinking about why you're coming to church and ask yourself who you're coming to church for. Sometimes someone needs you in that moment. And I had this experience at our Holy Spirit retreat. One of my guests was sitting by a table by himself, and I went and sat down, and he just began to cry. And he was so overcome with the feeling that God had something for him in life, despite all of the ways that he had tried to deviate from that plan. And And I couldn't help but be emotional myself because I recognized that that was the same person that I was. I knew that I needed to continue to serve, or I knew that I needed to continue to be present in the church because there are more people out there like myself. So when you think you're too tired, or when you think you're too busy, or you have things going on, remember that somebody else might need you to be there. Don't give up on those people around you that maybe have given up on themselves. I think it's one of those things that's really contagious. This change of mind, this investment in my relationships, this willingness to volunteer, to challenge myself to be more involved with other people. When I was younger, I thought, these are my gifts. I'm good at what I do. Let me show you how good I am at those things, and I'll tell you how good I am at those things too. You wish you could change it, right? But also, I don't think I'd be the same person that I am right now. I think I went through a lot of different valleys, and that has helped me relate. Humbled in our society, I think, is almost this embarrassment, right? Like, oh, that person was really humbled. They got really put down. But in the Bible, it's understanding who God sees you as. And that is one of the biggest things that has changed in my life, is seeing who God sees me as, who I was created to be. The biggest thing that has changed has really just been that day-to-day understanding of what matters most in life.
And so he overflowed with joy. He overflowed with love. And Alex, a normal guy, like you, me. This is probably one of the most common stories that we ever hear. This isn't one of those testimonies where someone just like experiences some supernatural miracle and we all go, wow, that's incredible. I've never heard anything like that before. Wow, isn't God amazing? And those stories matter. And by the way, we hear stories like that a lot around here. But the number one story we hear is, I knew there had to be something more to life than this. Someone invited me, or just happened to be in a service or at a ministry, and I heard about Jesus, and I learned a little bit more, and then I didn't just learn more and say, well, isn't it nice to learn things or to hear people talk? I knew I needed to let God's purpose flow through me. I knew I needed to do what I was made to do, and to bring healing where I've hurt before, and to bring love where there is no love, to bring hope and faith where there is no hope and where there is no faith. And so Jesus, he ends this parable by saying, there is more joy in heaven. Translation, nothing makes God more excited. Nothing makes God more happy. There is more joy in heaven when one lost sinner who repents and returns to God. That's a Bible-y word that a lot of people have used and abused in different ways and say, you better repent, meaning you better be perfect. No, repenting means changing your mind and turning around. That's all it means. Changing your mind from okay, well, I must be on the right path because everybody else is on this path, to, maybe there's a better one. Changing your mind from, well, that would be too hard, or I would be uncomfortable with that, to, that might be exactly what I needed to do. Changing your mind about what God thinks about you to what God actually thinks about you, and how much joy he has in who you are, the way you are, and not the way you should be. See, sometimes we just got to change our mind to let Jesus carry us, to let Jesus be the one who is the Lord, who is the Savior, and we get to be filled up with that joy, and the joy overflows. This past Wednesday night, we were overflowing with joy. We were blown away. Wednesday nights, we have a couple ministries for teenagers, and we have ministries for kids too. But we had a baptism night. And here's a question for you. What were you doing when you were a teenager? Wandering? Maybe? I mean, it's built into like the development of teenage brains. It's like, I must wander, I must rebel. Like, that's just part of it, okay? But here's the secret that you guys know over here. Is they all do it too, don't they? Right? Because it's human. We all do this. We all wander, and yet it brings God so much joy when we come home to Him. And we saw 230 teenagers get baptized on Wednesday. 230 of them. It's incredible. Around 40% of them had never been baptized before. The other 60%, they were affirming their baptism, meaning they were baptized before, but they were having a moment with God where they said, I've wandered and I'm coming home. Can you see the joy on their faces? Can you see that it's overflowing in their hearts? Can you see it? Do you know what that's like? Have you experienced that in your own life? See, Jesus, he talks about sheep all the time. He didn't have sheep jokes, but he had sheep analogies. And so he says in a different part of the Bible in John chapter 10, he says, I am the good shepherd, and I have other sheep too that are not of the sheepfold, and I must bring them also. Think of the joy of Alex's friend, and I know who she is, and I haven't seen her yet, but as soon as I find her, you know that she's just thrilled to see what God has done in her life. From one moment, just saying, why don't you come to church with me? You ever felt that way before with someone? Where you've got to see God just get a hold of their life because you simply invited them to come experience the things that you've experienced. Saying, hey, come and see. You might be surprised, come and see. Because there's other sheep too. And if you're a part of this sheepfold, go get them. There was around 30,000 people that worshiped here for Easter. The last Alpha class that we had was the biggest one that we've ever had. And we got another one starting on Monday. Maybe you should join. He gave $1 million to build churches. And did you know that the churches that we've already built, not the ones from the ones that we gave, that there's already more people worshiping in Africa because of the churches that Hope has built than there are at all of Hope's campuses? What do you think it's going to be like now? God is on the move. Can you feel it? Are you following Him? Because the Lord is my shepherd. And in Him I have all that I need. He leads me into green pastures, by peaceful streams, along the way of righteousness. And even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for You are with me. Jesus is your good shepherd. And so He tells His disciples on the night that He's going to be betrayed and that He's going to die, He tells them this, that I've told you all the things I've told you, so you will be filled, so full. You'll be filled with My joy, and your joy is just going to overflow. It's going to spill over just like it did for Alec, just like it has for hundreds and thousands of people in this church, and just like it will for thousands and thousands more. These are the stories of hope. These are hope stories. And so what we're going to do with this last part of our service is that we're going to have a moment. Alec said that I know the power of one moment because one person just asks this. And so we're going to have a moment where we have the opportunity to come home to Jesus, to let Him carry us by His grace and His love. And so we're going to do that in something that maybe if you grew up in church, this has just always been kind of a ritual that, oh yeah, we do that sometimes. But it's never been a ritual to God. God promises in His word to show up, to forgive our sins, to carry us in His grace, to make us one with Him and one with one another when we receive this Holy Supper in faith. And you're invited to receive it. See, it was on the night in which He was betrayed that our Lord Jesus took bread and He broke it. He gave it to His disciples saying, take this and eat. This is My body. It's broken for you. do this in the remembrance of me. After the cupper, he took the supper. After the supper, he took the cup. See, there it is. After the supper, he took the cup. He said, "This is the new covenant in my blood." New covenant, that's a churchy word that means there's a new deal. My life for your sins. My body and my blood poured out for you to be forgiven, receive eternal life, to come home, to live the life you were made for. So do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, Jesus says. So I want to invite our communion servers to move into place, and I'm going to give you a few words of instruction on just how this will work. What's going to happen is, in a moment, the ushers will dismiss you row by row, and then you can come and you can receive the bread into your hands and eat that. After you eat that, you can either take the dark-colored wine with alcohol or the light-colored grape juice without, obviously. And then you can take whichever one is right for you. And then you can dispose of the cup right next to, in the basket right next to where you are. If you need allergy-free, we have that available on both sides over here. The ushers would be very happy to point you in the right direction. But here's what we're going to do, is that this isn't a ritual. This is a moment. It's a moment where we get to come home. So let us pray our table grace and come home to Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you so much for tuning in and joining us for Service Online.
If this is your first time joining us, welcome. We don't think it's any accident that you're here, and we have been praying for you.
To see more of our content, know when we go live, and stay up to date week to week, feel free to subscribe to this channel.
And if you live close by one of our campuses or local sites, we invite you to check us out in person. We would love to meet you. And don't forget to follow us on social media to stay up to date.
See you next week.